If you're trying to advance your career or to sell an idea, you've probably been told to craft a clear, brief message about yourself and your work, something you've memorized for that chance encounter in the elevator with the company's CEO. Entrepreneurs have been delivering elevator pitches for years, and now the idea is catching on with scientists. Carrie Feibel from Here and Now contributor Houston Public Media went to an elevator speech contest at Houston's Medical Center.
It's not that scientists don't give talks about their research. It's just that too often, the audience is other scientists. This contest forced graduate students to pull back from the data and the details and figure out how to explain their work to almost anyone.
It has to be intelligible, it has to be 90 seconds, and it has to be fun.
Carrie Cameron organized the contest. She's an assistant professor at the University of Texas Graduate School of Biomedical Sciences, where she has an unusual role.
I'm not a biomedical scientist. I'm a linguist. I like to see how I can work with the students to kind of unleash their own creativity and get them in touch with the linguistic side of their science and not just the technical side.
10 PhD candidates made it to the final round. The auditorium was filled with their teachers, their lab partners, and their friends. The crowd was friendly and forgiving.
Can have different effects on, can produce different quality wines. I forgot. Sorry. Can I start over? Can I do that? Can I do that? All right. I'm sorry. Okay. Hi, my name's Lexi Fluber, and I'm a graduate student in Dr. Prahlad.
The best speakers used metaphors from everyday life that non-scientists could visualize or relate to.
Hi, my name is Kimia Mamarzada. I work on supposin proteins. So what are supposin proteins and why should you care about them? Supposin proteins.
Mamarzada also introduced two new characters, lysosomes and endosomes.
I want you to think of the cell as a city. If the nucleus is the city hall and the mitochondria are the power plants, I want you to think of the lysosome as the cell's waste plant and the endosomes as the trash trucks that transport waste to the waste plant.
So far, I'm with her. But what about those proteins she was talking about?
Now, in the context of our city, supposin proteins are the waste plant workers. And if they don't function properly, there's a buildup of waste in the waste plant. It makes sense, right?
Although I still can't tell you what a supposin protein is, I do have a good sense now of what it does. And the judges liked her speech, too.
Second place goes to Kimia Mamarzada.
Mamarzada won $350, but she says the reason she entered the contest was to force herself to practice.
I think talking and writing are scientists' two biggest, I don't know, weapons in their artillery as far as being able to get funding, being able to convince people that your research is significant or important, or why should anybody care about it?
Professor Carrie Cameron says learning to communicate clearly does help scientists compete at a time when money for basic research has declined. But she says even the science itself requires more interaction.
As we move into large interdisciplinary team science, the scientists on a team are doing so many different kinds of science that it's hard for them to understand what each other is doing and how they fit into the team. And that's one of the most important goals of this kind of communication.
Some of the graduate students said there had been another unexpected benefit. They had finally found a way to explain to their family members what exactly they do all day. For Here and Now, I'm Carrie Feibel.